Hello, everybody around the world. You're on the Mike and Abe show. And Mike, we have a guest on today.
Yes, we do. We have one of the MVPs of the fight against, I call them, Suber, the lovely Carolyn from Manhattan, who is also a medallion taxi driver, I understand.
Owner, never a driver.
Owner.
My ex-husband drove for 42 years, and the medallion's been in the family for 55 years.
Wow.
So I'm here in this trying to save my own life and Abe's and everybody else's that I can help.
Yes. Well, that's a good. That's all you can ask for, I guess. That's very good. So, so let's get right to it, I guess. What brings you to the show?
Well, there are two bills that are going to come before the city council tomorrow that's going to change how the medallion system works. We don't know if they'll pass it, but I think they probably will. They're being introduced by Adonis Rodriguez. One is number 1474. That is going to change the transfer fee that happens every time a medallion is transferred from one owner to another. It's presently 5%, and they're going to reduce it to 0.5%. So in other words, almost nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's to help get foreclosures off the books of the credit unions. That's what I suspect.
Well,
is the
interesting. Well, how will that help get foreclosures off the books? Okay, the tax is going to be reduced by 10 times or divided by 10. In other words, 5% mm-hmm. will become 0.5%. So
yeah.
If the tax was on $1 million, it used to be 50,000, it would only be 5. Or on 500,000,
right.
It would be 2,500. Okay.
Right.
So how would that help the credit unions? Tell me.
Well, whoever might be willing to step forward to take over a foreclosed loan would be more likely to do that if they don't have to lay out a lot of cash.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me just jump in here. And I talked to one guy. He said the word on the street is that you can take over a distressed medallion, as in the guy can't pay his bills.
Right.
And what you needed to do, they would say, you have to buy the car for cash, and then you would have to pay the transfer tax. So the car, buying a cab for cash would be about 28 grand. But on top of that, if they said the medallion you're going to take possession of a $600,000 medallion, you'd need another certified check for $30,000 going
right.
to the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying basically now is that $30,000 is going to jump down to $3,000. So basically you can take possession of a distressed medallion, hypothetically. I mean, I don't know all the things here. But so let's say if you get $30,000, you can have your own medallion on the street if you take a repossessed medallion. That's the hot rumor. So I mean, the thing that jumps out at me here is, I would think if they did anything to help the taxi medallion, let's say tomorrow they did a fare increase. Okay, we're going to give the cab drivers a fare increase of between 15 and 20% to get more drivers back. That solves a lot of problems. I mean, they don't have to do all this mumbo-jumbo with bills and city councils and the 5%, 0.5%, just a few approvals.
Right, but they never, ever, ever go for the simplest solution. The simplest solution is to get, you know, a lot of those 100,000 cars off the street. And
right.
I suggest it to them all the time, but that never goes anywhere because that's the basic problem. There's too many cars chasing
too many
Uber customers.
Like a zillion Uber cars. They're running around like rats. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
I know. If I stand on any corner in Manhattan, all I see is black cars whizzing by. It's incredible.
Right. And I got news for you. I've seen a lot more lately
At
LaGuardia Airport. On the ramp leading into the airport, you have black four-door sedans and black four-door SUVs. They don't even have anything. They have straight plates. They have regular passenger plates,
right.
And they're waiting for fares coming out of the top drop-off point of the main terminal. So there's just people running buck wild out of here.
Right, and there's no enforcement.
There's zero enforcement, and I'm trying to figure this all out. So anyway, Carolyn, that's very interesting. So they're going to have this as one bill, and what is the other bill tomorrow?
Let me read
it. Well, the other one, what?
Let me read it, and then Carolyn, you could try to decipher it.
Okay.
This bill will limit the Taxi and Limousine Commission's authority to revoke medallions in the event of foreclosure, involuntary transfer, or surrender. This bill would repeal the provision requiring that the that the ratio of the total number of taxicab licenses held by owners of more than one taxicab license and the total number of taxicab licenses held by owners of one taxicab license remained the same. It sounds a little double talkish to me here, okay? This bill would remove many restrictions related to the transferability of taxicab licenses and allow a purchaser to operate a taxicab through a licensed agent for a period not to exceed 3 years from the transfer date. I'm confused. What does all that mean?
I guess they want to get the, for lack of a better word, I'll say stuff off the books of the credit unions, and they don't care how they do it. Because there was a ratio in place of corporate ownership versus individual ownership.
That's
I think
right.
That's out the window now, or it will be on Monday.
So
they don't care.
So in other words,
they want somebody to take over these foreclosures. They don't care how they do it. They can work it. They won't revoke the license. They're doing everything they can to make it easier to get the stuff off the books.
So they want to make it easy for a fleet to buy an individual medallion.
Could be, or it could be a hedge fund. Could be private equity.
Hey, let me ask something. I know that just throwing it out there in layperson's terms, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm in my 50s now. And when the person approached me about getting an individual medallion, I basically told them, say, look, if I get an individual medallion now, if you have like one wacko passenger in your cab that wants to get you in trouble, you could get your hack license revoked, then you're stuck with selling an individual medallion, which in today's market, nobody wants to buy.
Right.
So I said, what I'd like to do is probably look into maybe getting like half of a mini fleet corporation, or looking into trying to buy a distressed mini fleet corporation. And apparently, everybody says the medallion is down, nobody's selling. Why is nobody selling corporations? I'm guessing maybe they're afraid that as soon as they sell the next day, it's going to jump up again. I mean, it's almost impossible to buy a mini fleet corporation, even though apparently there's so many people who want to get the hell out. Have you know anything?
Well, I mean, I know there's no financing, but there must be some people around with cash or willing to self-finance.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I don't think that happens, because I don't think any of the transfers that we see on the TLC website are real sales. They're just somebody taking over a foreclosure.
Right. Like a stock swap, as they call it.
Yeah. Those aren't like real sales. I don't really understand. But see, now you can step in, and it's not really going to cost you anything to operate one of these cabs.
Right.
I mean, you and I could step in. You know, maybe you'll pay the $3,000 transfer fee, and then you just agree to pay a certain amount every month, which is almost like rent.
Well, if the credit union is owed $800,000 on the medallion, okay, what will the credit union be willing to settle for?
We would have to call them up and ask them, and I don't think they're going to tell us.
Well, they would have to tell whoever's buying the medallion. Make them an offer. So you would. I imagine if you were in that position to take over the medallion, they would give you a price.
Well, you could negotiate that price, I imagine.
Uh-huh. So in essence, they will. You know, I read an article this week about Progressive Credit Union, okay, and how they have weathered this storm, okay.
And right, they had more reserves.
Yeah.
So they're in better shape. They didn't loan 100% of the value out on the medallions. They were much more conservative.
Okay, but still, many of the loans are for more than what the medallion is considered to be worth.
Right,
now.
They're underwater.
Right. So let's say the medallion is considered to be worth $500,000, which is the figure that I read. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the loan is for say $700,000. Okay, what they're doing is they're splitting up, if I read this correctly, okay, what they're doing is they're splitting up the two amounts. In other words, they're giving you a payment structure for the $500,000 that the medallion is said to be worth, and holding off on the other $200,000 until that loan is paid for, and then after that, you would have to pay that amount in a separate loan after the first loan is paid. Actually, I'm reading from an article where I got this information, and what's being said by Progressive Credit Union is, when we have a medallion loan and now it's for more than the value of the collateral, We now modify it to an A and B note. You make a new note that reflects the 80% to 85% of the new value of the collateral. You make the loan at market rate, and the B note is the difference, the overage. You are obligated by accounting rules to charge that off when you make the new notes. At least for now, we are not forgiving those notes. You never know what will happen in the future, and the notes could be forgiven. But those notes continue on as a liability by the member in the hope that the market returns to some level of normalcy and stability, at which time that obligation will begin to be paid again. Okay, those are words of Progressive Credit Union. Now, at this point in the show, we lost connection with Mike and Carolyn. Okay, but we're going to now bring them back. Okay.
Hi. Okay, I think we're here. Mike?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, so I was in the middle of talking. What was the last thing you heard?
We were talking about, first of all, we were talking about how they want to get these medallions off the books. And I had opined about something saying, you know, it's so easy to lose your hack license if you're an individual owner driver. That
yeah.
If it's one thing if the medallion is jumping by 50,000 a year, then you can, should I just pick it up from there?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The one thing where they want to get these taxi medallions, so-called, off the books at TLC, to find new owner-drivers for them, is, first of all, there was this, like, 10-year assault on owner-drivers by the city with tickets and these bogus passenger complaints, and every crackpot in the city started jumping in to complain about cabbies. And yet these people, like serial complainants, going after the guy who was an owner or the gal who was an owner-driver. And now in today's climate, if you buy an owner-driven medallion, it's a big problem because it used to be if you had an owner-driven medallion, you could sell it if somebody got you in trouble or if you had some problem with a passenger or some problem with whatever and just go into the market and sell it. Now you're putting, let's say, $700,000 on your back in a very hostile environment for someone to own a taxi medallion as a driver, and they wonder why nobody are buying these things. And no matter what they do, and God, you know, I mean, God forbid they give a fare increase to the driver who's not making money. I don't understand what they're thinking. It's very frustrating. And on top of that frustration, we have a mayor who may not get reelected. So I mean, we have all this mumbo jumbo going on in a climate of for the next 6 months, we don't even know if de Blasio is going to get a second term. And the city council basically just follows his every waking move. So I want to thank Carolyn for bringing this up tomorrow about maybe lowering the transfer tax. It never hurts because, I mean, God knows where that money is going. And the other thing is as far as making it some more liquidity to be able to get one medallion to another person because I don't know what it is in the mini fleet world, but in the individual world, it's not like you can do it 1, 2, 3. There's a lot of steps you have to do to change ownership. So hopefully there'll be some movement in the medallion sales department. So I was just very interested. The other thing, of course, we hear nothing about this until the day before. Like there's no big industry notice. There's nothing.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
newspaper.
And there's nothing on the TLC website about this either. And the city council was supposed to be talking about the subway, I think. And then if you look on the council website, they just right. crossed all that off. They actually drew lines through it, and then they replaced it last second. And these bills were introduced by, are going to be introduced by Adonis Rodriguez.
He's the big
head of
the
transportation.
He's the guy who said he was a cab driver, and it turns out he was actually driving car service uptown.
Yeah.
Uptown Manhattan.
Right.
So this is another thing. It's like the taxi driver, well, you're not really a taxi driver in my book, pal. You're kind of like a
right.
car service guy, a livery guy uptown. So, but every, you know, taxi drivers would sell newspapers like that.
Have these
but,
bills...
I didn't know that. I did not know.
Have these bills passed the Transportation Committee first? Because don't they... First...
Well, no, they're going to talk about it on Monday.
Oh, in other words, I see.
It also says that
yeah.
these bills will go into immediate effect. No waiting time.
Well, don't
so
they?
Somebody's in a big rush.
But they still have to be passed by the entire city council, right?
I think so. I'm not
okay.
So, a parliamentary expert.
Okay, so the bills are Right now they're in the fantasy stage, and they're not actually in the yes. reality stage until they're passed.
Right.
Okay. I think the big question here is if these bills are passed, and hopefully they will be, because they sound good to me. All right. Will this actually enable people to take over these medallions that aren't on the street and put them on the street? Okay, because that's where the problem is, that the taxis have been cut in numbers that are actually on
right.
the street, which is probably why our ridership has gone down. Okay.
Right. No, that would be a good thing to have more yellows on the street.
Yeah,
real quick, Carolyn, have you heard of how many medallions are just sitting on the shelf versus, like, I see a lot of cabs sitting in the yard sometime in the taxi garages, but how many taxi medallions are just not even have a car attached now, or they're just sitting on a shelf? Do you have any numbers on that?
Somebody told me a few hundred, but I have no way of verifying that. Maybe like 400 or 500, but that was a few right. months ago, and I'm not sure if that's right or right. not. You know, then it's that gray area, like you said, that just the cab doesn't get out for the whole day.
Let me say this. I haven't been in New York City in, I moved down to New York City. It's almost 4 years now, okay, since I stopped driving. And I look at the webcams, okay, and I'm right now my eyes are cast on Times Square, okay, live picture I'm looking at. And I see a lot of yellow cabs there, but I don't see the wall-to-wall yellow cabs that I remember driving in. Okay, especially
right.
now it's 10:17 on a Sunday morning. Okay, and I would see yellow cabs, so many of them that you wonder how you're getting fares. But we were all getting fares.
We were
okay.
Yeah,
we're
getting 550,000 rides a day.
Yeah,
like
I know.
That.
Okay,
now you're getting 337.
Yeah, so my estimate is there's probably about 25% of the taxis are on the street. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That,
if I had to take a guess, if I had to make a bet, you see, right now I'm looking at a lot of yellow cabs going down 7th Avenue. Okay, but I see a lot of those black cars in between. Okay, and I think that it's the people need more options for yellow taxis, because they only get these black cars. There's some. There's some, religiously black car people who will not take a yellow cab, and that's their problem, all right? But when the yellow cabs are out on the street, the people will use them before they use the black cars in most cases. Am I correct in that?
Right.
It depends on the price. I mean, if Uber is only charging 41 cents out of every dollar on a fare, and the other 59 cents is being paid by Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, most consumers will go with the cheaper option. They don't care where the 59 cents came from.
Okay, that's true. They everybody's always looking to save a few dollars, okay?
These people are so attached to their telephones. I'll just tell you a quick millennial story. I saw a guy with a cell phone that he couldn't take his eyes off. He had hailed a Uber, and he couldn't even look up from the phone to find the door handle on the car. He was just patting and tapping the side of the car trying to find the handle because he was
right.
so engrossed in his phone.
In other words,
go ahead, Mike.
No, you go, Mike.
Well, somebody said that the same cerebral brain part is, if you're an obsessive compulsive person, you have this addictive personality. And now apparently, some people aren't doing drugs, they're not doing booze, but their addictive personality is now they're addicted literally to the cell phone. And this jumps in what we have to identify as an industry, realizing that these people, they're not going to put their hand in the air. They would rather tap a cell phone to a cab 2 feet away than to physically look at the driver and put their hand in the air, which is insane.
I know,
but it is what it is, and I've never seen anything like this before in my life. It's just I'm dreaming.
The cell phone zombies crossing streets without looking. They don't look.
If these people want to just tap on their phone to get a taxi, okay, We need to have, and I've said this in previous shows, and I'm going to say it again until it happens. We need to have the Arrow, the Way to Ride, and the Curb app pasted across the front doors of our taxi cabs. Okay? Because I'll tell you a little story. I think I told it last week. I met a woman here in Florida, a middle-aged woman who takes a lot of taxis. She lives in Midtown Manhattan. She lives on 34th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. What kind of taxis do you take? I asked her. And she says, I said, do you take a lot of taxis? She goes, well, I take a lot of, I like to call the app taxis because they come to my door. Okay, I don't like to call the ones that, Via makes you walk to the corner. Okay, did you know the yellow taxis have apps? They do? Really?
Yeah.
You know, here the Arrow app has been in taxis for over a year and a half now. Okay? And she didn't know that the yellow taxis had apps, okay? And and I tell you right now, there are taxis down here in Florida where I am, okay? And they had the same problem with Uber that they're having in New York, and they put the apps straight across the doors of their taxis, and there's no way you don't know that they have an app, okay? Right. All right. So what's the problem here? You know, will the TLC deny a request that we put the apps on the doors? Please. Okay. What difference?
The TLC has done everything in their power to destroy the yellow taxi industry.
Well,
I mean,
I'm saying.
So, you know, why would they want to help you?
Well, what do we have to do as medallion owners?
Right.
What do we have to do as medallion owners? You're here. We're all here, Mike. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. What do we have to do? What do we have to do as medallion owners to make this request of the TLC?
Well, as you know, there was a bill in 2012 to put the rates back on the doors after the rates had been it had been decided to remove the rates. I believe in secret because I can't find anything in TLC's transcripts about it. So they took the rates off the doors. Then Council Member Jimmy Vaca introduced a very sensible bill to put the rates back on the doors. They had hearings. Taxi Dave was there. The livery industry was there. Everybody was for it except for one guy from the TLC, Ashwini Shabra, who now works for Uber.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Shabra.
One girl who did design. She didn't think it was aesthetically pleasing to put rates on the doors. Okay, everybody was for it.
So then the bill died.
Let's back up on this real quick from the top. I'm sorry, you have to cut this out, but just say exactly what you said because that's extremely important because it jumps to like this foundation of all the BS we're involved with. So from the top, what was it?
Okay, the Taxi and Limousine Commission decided, I believe in secret because I cannot find a record of this in the transcript, to remove the rates from the doors in 2012.
When was it? In 2012, okay.
So then Council Member Jimmy Vaca, who's still around, he was the then head of the Transportation Committee. He's not anymore, but he's still on the Transportation Committee. He introduced a bill, 929-2012, to put the rates back on the door. They held hearings. The whole industry was there. The livery industry, Taxi Dave, everyone was for this bill. There were two people who were against it. That was Ashwini Shabra from TLC, who now works for Uber. He was a policy guy at TLC at the time. He didn't want to put the rates on the doors. And another woman who was a design person, she was worried about the aesthetics. So everybody gave testimony, except for those two people, saying the bill should pass, and then the bill never went anywhere. I've called Vaca's office. I've emailed them. I've talked to three or four different people. I can't find out what happened to the bill. I can't find out if they could reintroduce it. I mean, it's all done. I mean, I don't understand this. But sometimes, evidently, this happens in the city council. Sometimes somebody comes up with a bill in order for it not to be passed. I know this is a little confusing, but it's actually what's happened with wheelchair accessibility and also a bill for installing TPEP in black cars. There were two bills that have been floating around, and the sponsors of the bills were told, oh, we can't do this because somebody else has already introduced or trying to introduce a similar bill. No, we can't tell you who it is. No, we can't tell you what it says. No, we can't tell you the status. but you can't introduce your bill for wheelchair accessibility in black cars and some sort of a reporting system in black cars, like a TPEP, something like a TPEP. Okay, so it's a way of squashing a bill. It's like patent trolling. You know, you acquire a patent so nobody else can do it, but you really have no intention of ever using that patent for anything. It's like that. So that's one of the reasons why they're having a rally at City Hall on March 1st at 1 o'clock. That's one of the issues that's going to be brought up, that democracy is being stymied, and we believe it's Melissa Mark-Viverito who's doing this, but we'll see. So that's what's going on.
That's a lot going on.
So one person who deserted the taxi industry, a former commissioner who went to Uber, decided that he didn't want the rates on the door because he was going to Uber, and this was all sabotage. Okay?
Right.
You know, let's call it what it is. All right?
Yeah.
This was all sabotage.
In our opinion.
Yes, right. In our opinion.
Right. In our opinion.
Well, I think our opinion is pretty accurate because first of all, that mayor is gone, that TLC chair person is gone, that Chabra guy is working for Uber, and there's a design lady who her claim to fame apparently is just being the champion of some artsy fartsy tea on the door.
Some artsy fartsy designer, you know, who never drove a cab in her life. Okay, maybe she never even took a cab in her life.
Right.
Okay, right. She made a decision for 13,000 taxis that we shouldn't have the rates on the door.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, maybe I should get a job at the New York Yankees and tell them that they should have little league ball players.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they already do.
Hey, I heard they have midget wrestling at Sin City. Somebody sent me an article yesterday.
Oh, really? I'm on my way.
Right, it's right next to the taxi garage where my ex-husband used to work, among other places.
Okay, so I'm...
Yeah, ask him if they found my sneakers over there. Yeah.
So listen, this bill was for the rates on the doors. Okay, that disappeared into thin air, that nobody knows where it is, and it was never really acted upon. How about a new bill to put the apps on the doors? That would be good enough. Okay?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the best. The best would be to have both on the doors. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if we could get in there somehow and get the apps on the doors, that would be a good lead-in to put the rates back on the doors.
Well, right. I mean, right now, my main concern with all this stuff going on is, again, it jumps back to the de Blasio syndrome of he's basically up for the re-election Democratic primary in September of this year, which is basically in New York, the election, because the Republicans, maybe they'll get someone up there, who knows. But you have the city council, and then you have de Blasio, and there's very little independent thinking. It's like this one big blob of people who are just joined at the hip, and I'm just wondering how many independent thinkers we have on the city council, because if de Blasio's out, they said right now there's currently about 10 or 12 people from the Democratic Party who are going to run against de Blasio. What happens then? I mean, do we get a worse hell than the hell we're in, or do we get a more logical person running the show? Or because apparently... You talk about I can't breathe. There's 50,000 Uber cars running the streets, and their drivers are making like 60 or 70 bucks a day working part-time. So just wondering, at what point does this hell get better? I mean, Carolyn, have you seen any friendlies on the city council? Are there anybody we can talk to?
There's a couple of people I like more than most of them, but right. I think everybody's on the same page. You know, it's sort of an example of the deep state. It sort of goes on no matter who's elected. There are policy people who worked with Bloomberg, who work with de Blasio, who are going to be around no matter who's in office. And they're the ones calling the shots.
Right. So hypothetically, if a non-Democrat got in, would that change the policy people, or are they just like entrenched in there?
I think they're entrenched in there.
So basically... there's no reason to vote because policy people run the city, or I mean, I'm just
I do think that's how it is. There's a handful of advisors, And you could see the same names, the same people go back and forth. You know, they're on the Port Authority Board, or, you know, they advise the Transportation Committee, they advise the mayor, then they go back, you know, into their own advisory world. It's the same names that just keep coming up. They work for Cuomo, you know, people like Bradley Tusk, for one, you know, who was Uber's PR boy.
Right.
He's backing anyone who will run against de Blasio. He doesn't care who they are.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, he put himself out there as a hired gun about six months ago. He's willing to he'll back. He'll, you know, Hillary could take it in a second, but I wouldn't look to her for any help either. I'll try, but I don't hold up much hope.
Well, the other thing here is I'm just wondering from our camp, I've noticed a definite lack from, first of all, with the people who have owned cabs in New York City for years. I don't see a lot of taxi ads on the radio. I don't see a lot of taxi ads on TV. I don't see a lot of promotion from within our industry to say how wonderful we are. Again, with the apps, I've gotten one app call maybe in the last 2 months. So I really just think these people are just entrenched. You talk about entrenched. Maybe a lot of them just had this attitude, okay, well, last year I made $8 million. This year I made $6 million. We'll get a new mayor involved. But, I mean, at what point do they get mad? I mean, they've basically been, you know, losing 30% of their equity on their medallions. And at what point do they freak out? I'm just wondering why.
I don't think you're going to want to put my response on the air. But, you know, how do you know all those people didn't borrow every penny they could? And by now the money's been parlayed. It's in clubs. It's in restaurants. It's in hotels. It's overseas. Maybe they, I don't know. I'm thinking about the same, you know, the same thing. It doesn't make any sense that there isn't more of a response. Maybe they're already out of it, but there's little people like Abe or me. You know, we didn't do things like that.
No.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, stuck holding the bag. And I don't think you want to put this into the show because it's too depressing.
Well, it's okay. You know, I'll be the judge of that when I go through the show.
You're right, Mike. Looking at the situation, how could this be happening? Why is it unfolding like this? That we feel like we're out there almost all alone with a few exceptions?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just wondering if we have a couple of double agents. Like if some of these, which I have no proof of, again, you know, as we tiptoe through this, where if we had like some people who owned cabs and invested in Uber, and now they got caught holding the bag because they realized the Uber thing isn't exactly happening. So maybe they've been working both sides of the street. Maybe they invested heavily in Uber.
Yeah.
I know there are people selling cars. There are people insuring Uber cars.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if in their wisdom, I'm just wondering if they blew it. And they don't want to make noise because the cat will be out of the bag today. You know, what are you talking about? This guy invested in us, and now he's complaining about it. So
they're hedging their bets. But I love the latest story about how the SEC is going to make it easier for little investors to invest in companies like Uber. Because up until now, you have to be worth a few million dollars and have an investment portfolio and whatever, be an accredited investor. Now they're saying, no, you need to loosen up the regulations and let little people invest. That tells me that Uber's having a problem getting cash. They haven't gotten any cash since the summer, the Saudis. Which I never tire of reminding people.
I understand.
I'm guessing if you see Travis walking around with one hand, I guess...
Yeah.
Well, listen, I understand they found seven planets that are similar to Earth 40 light years away, and I think Uber might be going over there for some money.
Yeah, and even if they blow up, we'll still have a problem. But it would be helpful or implode.
You know, all the news stories. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say the one thing I'd really like to know is again, not to belabor the point, but the I don't know. Like again, I don't know if it's cowardice or if it's just they want to hide under the desk or if they think the market will adjust, which is the most annoying thing I've heard in the conversation. You have a lot of market will adjust people in this mix here. Like with the chairperson at TLC, she's like, we encourage competition. It's like, listen, you encourage competition, but you sold medallions direct from the city of New York that say basically you're going to eliminate competition. That's why it was $1 million.
Right. Why would anybody in their right mind pay $1 million for a medallion? You'd have to be insane or the stupidest person in the world.
Right.
And that's not what they were. It was the city promised them.
Yeah, the city promised, basically, the city promised, let's say, you, me, or Abe, okay, you buy this medallion, we're going to eliminate competition,
right,
and you will be the only cab on the street able to get street hails. Okay, well, because that's all it is. I don't know what these judges are looking at, so these the judge things.
But yeah.
A guy jumps into the street with a phone in his hand and puts his hand in the air and jumps into your cab. That's not a prearranged thing. It's basically
right.
the time frame for prearrangement would be like about, let's say, 5 minutes tops. If you got somebody clicking a phone and the car is there in less than a minute,
right.
That's a street hail. You have to put like a time frame on there. If you get your cab in less than a minute, that's not a prearranged call. Come on, let's be serious.
Well, let me
right.
say
the
that.
The city's admitted it. The city has said that an e-hail is a hail. It even says it in the TLC definition.
That's correct. And I just want to say one thing about what is a street hail. Is it really defined? I've heard I've always been under the impression that there was one definition of what a street hail was, but I've been told by somebody another definition of what a street hail is, and both of them make sense to me, okay? One definition is that if you're standing on the street, no matter how you get a taxi, it's a street hail, okay?
Right.
You know, it's not prearranged. It's on demand. You want it now. Okay, and another definition is if you're not at a base and riding around the streets and you get a call, that's a street hail also because
mm-hmm.
you're riding around
yep.
the streets. Okay,
right.
And what prearranged means is that you're at a base and a call comes in and you're dispatched from that base.
Right, but that's the problem. They never define prearranged.
Well, you know, if it's not defined, how do they define it after the fact?
I know, they wing it. On Monday, it means one thing. On Tuesday, it means another thing. I mean, Michelle Goldberg-Kahn, one of the lawyers for the city, she admitted that it's a hail. But then she said, no, I didn't really mean it. It's in the court transcripts in the federal lawsuit.
Yeah.
She changes
her
mind.
I'm getting very paranoid now. Whenever I see a last name with a hyphen in it, I get very
yeah. yeah, I don't think she's any relation to the bike lady. That's a different con.
Oh, it is?
And they're all con in my book.
Revenge of Con! Yes. Con!
Like, yeah, con, right. Star yeah. Trek.
Carolyn, you've been following...
Star Trek is a little more believable. Yeah,
you've been ahead. Following this federal case, and it seems to have been put somewhere on the back burner.
Something happened the other day.
Oh,
but
good.
I didn't send it to you. It's not significant, not real significant.
Anything is significant, okay?
We lost one judge. The judge was changed
right.
from Torres to Kaplan, both women.
Right.
The change happened around Thanksgiving. And since then, basically nothing's happened until one day last week, Todd Higgins, who's the attorney for
right.
the plaintiffs,
right.
Melrose and others,
right.
sent her a letter saying, look, you know, Melrose is in... what is it, conservatorship, you know,
right.
bad things are happening, let's
right.
get going, and she hasn't responded yet. That's the latest. So she will respond. I'll check it again Monday and see.
Okay, well, you're my connection on that, Carolyn, because you seem to have a know-how for how to follow this stuff, okay?
I have a Pacer account.
Yeah, I know.
Anybody can have one. You go on and then you click to see if there's anything new.
Okay.
But nothing new.
All right, well, keep us informed, okay?
Right, and there's still the state suit.
Yeah, that was supposed to be, you know, back last summer, Todd Higgins was on the Taxi Dave show, and he said that he expects the appeal to come up during the fall. Well, the fall is over. The winter is almost over, right?
Right, that's why they changed judges. And this is second time this
happened in the federal case. You mean the state case changed judges also?
They changed judges. Yeah, we had Judge Butler, and then it became Judge Weiss.
Yeah, but the appeal went after the change of judges, and
right.
You know, it's
true.
It's,
but you know what?
Yeah.
Cuomo, Governor Cuomo,
our friend,
appointed all the appeals court judges.
Uh huh. How nice of him.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So get the picture.
Yeah. And Cuomo, I read also that Cuomo wants all state vehicles in the city of New York painted black and gold.
You sent me that. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, yeah. he wants to show his state presence here. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good thing, brother. You, and Carolyn, since you're in the mix here, I noticed that they have the state troopers are now writing speeding tickets on the Triborough Bridge, and I never saw that before.
Ah.
So basically, they're taking the Triborough Bridge speeding ticket revenue away from the cops and the Highway Patrol. I've seen the state troopers writing speeding tickets on Grand Central, on the Triborough Bridge. They're sitting at the Midtown Tunnel, and I'm just wondering what the bleep is going on with the state trooper basically taking over where the where the other folks used to be doing this, and that just happened in the last couple of months. So this is the one problem today with the news. Everything is on the news now is like Trump. It's like, okay, we get it. Trump is the president.
Right.
Okay, can we just like move on to get some local news to find out what is going on? And it's almost like they're stuck on. It's like a broken record. I mean, they're just stuck on Trump. It's like, stop with the Trump. We know he's the president. Stop.
It's all Melissa Mark Viverito talks about.
Really?
She doesn't want to talk about any of these embarrassing issues that we want to talk to her about.
Yeah. So she just does, well, I didn't know she's just, so she just basically is cranking on how horrible Trump is.
Yeah.
And it's like, excuse me, the first generation immigrants who came over here and bought medallions are going out of business and going bankrupt. What about the first generation immigrants who are going bankrupt because of city policies? Is that the thing? Will you protect the immigrants with a demonstration at JFK Terminal 4? But once they try and start a business in New York, you put them into bankruptcy and destroy their lives. I mean, what happens to this guy? What happens to that guy after he buys a cab? I mean, well, I guess he doesn't matter because now he's buying. Now he's like trying to start a business. Or you only care about people coming in to Terminal 4 with a demonstration? It's very strange. Again, with the hyphen. Anytime I see a hyphen, now I get nervous.
Yeah. You know, you're right about that. I think your idea about how it being Uber being a relief valve for unemployment, I think that's absolutely correct.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I always said,
you're right.
Who says I'm paranoid? But I think what I said was the state of New York, the market wasn't there to absorb a jump in the minimum wage from $7.25 to $11 an hour. So now you have all these minimum wage people floating around with no jobs. And I think Cuomo's, in his wisdom, he's like, well, just give them an Uber car and let them scrape up a few bucks off the street.
Right.
But now they've just like flooded the streets with it, and now it's grabbing money away from the MTA. So it's a complete
mess. And so why fix the infrastructure? Why do you have to put in $1 trillion to infrastructure? They're shutting down the L train for 2 years. So who cares?
Yeah.
They'll just put more Uber cars on the street to take care of it.
Yeah,
so they
can
abdicate all their responsibilities this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Abe, I guess we have to get Carolyn back on the show immediately in the near future because she's doing great work. And I need more of those postcards. I gave out all those postcards yesterday at Kennedy Airport.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I gave away quite a few, but I have tons. I have so many I can't even pick the box up. It's so heavy. I have plenty
of
more.
It was 30 pounds.
Give me a bunch. I'll sprinkle them around. Yeah. Explain what that is. That's a 311 request against Hustlers. Carolyn, explain what that postcard says.
Oh, do you want me to read you the postcard? Should I?
Well, they can go online. It's on our site.
It's
the Monarch.
It's on the front page of NYC Taxi News. I could read it for you if you like. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I don't have it in front
of me.
It's
right in front of me. Okay. Report a legal hotel.
Listen. Just go to, anybody listening to the show, go to the front. Just click on the front page of NYC Taxi News instead of like reading it. So,
okay.
But in essence, it's to protect us against these hustlers, which are just poaching people right and left on the street.
It's a step-by-step guide on how to bring these people to justice. Okay?
And it's not just for hotel hails.
Right.
It's any illegal hotel, any illegal hail that you see anywhere. You can report it. You don't have to go for a hearing. It takes 5 minutes. But it's good to follow this script because it gets results.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we can only hope.
And you should ask the 311 people for a copy of your complaint that they will email to you so you can check it over to make sure it's correct because they get things wrong.
So, Mark, it looks like we lost Carolyn, technical difficulties, but we did a great show. So let's just sign off and say goodbye to everybody and thank them for listening to the Mark and Abe show. Okay?
You got it. Fair enough. Okay, listen, thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Abe. We had a lot of good points, and apparently there's the circus is back in town tomorrow morning. They're going to pass some weird stuff as opposed to giving a fare increase to cabbies. So this is the way, this is the plight we're in the middle of right now.
Okay, well,
we'll keep it posted.
Well, this is just stuff they're going to discuss. And there's a rally on Wednesday, for those who don't know, at City Hall. Okay, I don't know what time I had it here. Let me see. Okay, let me just find the flyer. It's right here. It's noon, Wednesday, March 1st, 2017 at noon. Okay? And
right.
Listen, make sure you visit our, you know, get things done. You need your taxes done, Taxi CPA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, front page of NYC Taxi News, of all of our supporters, King's Brokerage,
right.
Checker Garage.
Checker Garage has some great deals. You can't even want to jump in there and check out Checker. There
okay.
you go. How's that?
All the MTBOT people, okay? You know, mm-hmm. support them, and you need work. They got plenty of taxis for you to drive, okay? And
right.
That's it. And a guy out in Brooklyn, we want to mention him, right?
We want to mention him.
Yeah, NYC Taxi Group, 876 McDonald Avenue. Corner Avenue
right.
F. Name your price, leave with the car. 718-253-3501. Okay, and Taxi CPA,
yeah.
Tony Tax, get your taxes done. April 15th is coming
right.
before you know it. 718-413-6126. Okay, and...
the other thing is you got to get a good tax guy these days, because there's so much stuff that cabbies miss if they try and do it themselves. So don't do it yourself. Get a professional to help you out. That we're living in the third millennium. It's you got to get professional people. So that's my lecture for today.
Okay, and Taxi Dave, you gonna be on his show tonight?
I believe so. Taxi Dave is gonna have his show on the air tonight, and we'll have that posted on the website as soon as possible.
Okay, all right. So thank you for listening to the Mike and Abe Show. We'll see you next week.
Good night, world. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.